Ek wil sommer vir julle sterkte toewens vir die laaste kwartaal wat ons in is en mag ons nie soos ons gewoonlik moeg raak nie. Mag die Here se krag in ons wees om hierdie jaar nie afgemat te raak nie. Mag die Here se teenwoordigheid en sy gees in jou lewe wees sodat ons hoop en lig en lewe sal bring waar ons stap daar buite. Ek het gister fout gemaak om my weer in te laat praat in tennisliga in. My telling het ek omtrent soos die Leeu in die Vrystaat in gelyk, maar ek was net aan die verkeerde kant, maar en vir my net so ongelooflik die ouens teen wie ons gespeel het, so 'n lekker dag gewees vir my, so lekker gewees om tussen mense te wees wat hoop nodig het. So lekker om te wees by mense wat wat lig herken as hulle dit sien en wat 'n honger daarvoor het. En mag die Here ons so gebruik in hierdie kwartaal wat voorlê. Die vraag is nie wat vanoggend hier gebeur het, dis ook belangrik. Maar die vraag is wat gebeur as ons hier uitstap tot ons mekaar weer sien. En ek het regtig 'n begeerte om te sien dat my eie lewe soos wat ek dink vroeër vandag gesê het, nie net 'n lewe is van waar ek verklaar wat ek glo, waar ek weet wat ek glo nie, maar dat ek kan demonstreer wat ek glo. En dat die kerk 'n demonstrerende kerk sal word, wat Christus se hoop in sy lewe daar buite bring. Ek dink is ekie een van die kerk se grootste uitdagings, in die tye waarin ons leef, is om te demonstreer wat ons glo. Mag jy, volgens een woord sluit daarby aan, ons het, ek kan nie onthou hoeveel, ons het nou 'n bietjie vakansie gehad, wat is 'n Sondag nie, en ons het 'n bietjie na creation geluister, skepingsleer, maar vanoggend sluit aan by 'n preek wat ons gedeel het net voor die vakansie, en ek wil jou aanmoedig, as jy tyd het om te gaan aflaai en te gaan luister, want hierdie bou daarop, en volgende week bou ons verder op dit wat die Here begin lê het in die einde van laas kwartaal, en die vraag wat ons vir mekaar gevra het is die hoop wat jy het seker, of is jou hoop onseker? En ons het mekaar uitgedaag om te sê, as ons die hoop in elke dag se taal gebruik, dan is die hoop wat ons van praat, ons hoop het gaan genoeg reën. Die realiteit is, ons is nie seker of het genoeg gaan reën nie. Ons hoop, en hoe ons hoop gebruik, is onseker. En daarom gaan ons baie keer met die Bybel ook om, met die hoop, en laat het ons op 'n plek waar ons dink, dinge is onseker. Maar Bybelse hoop lyk heeltemal anders as dit. Bybelse hoop is, daar's 'n sekerheid. En iets wat ek in die oplees werk, so gaan luister 'n bietjie daaroor. Ons het geëindig om te sê, ons hoop is seker, omdat ons God se karakter as goed en betroubaar leer ken het. En daarom is die hoop wat ons het, not a calculated hope. Dis nie berekenbaar nie. Dis nie logies nie. Therefore we walk by faith and not by sight. Maar die hoop is seker, omdat God getrou is en goed is, en we ended up calling it a moral hope, a moral security. Because of God, of who he is, our hope is secure. In my reading through the scriptures and through writings on hope, I ended up in saying, but I see that the early church, their hope was rooted in the resurrection of Christ. And I started wrestling with that, so why? How is it that their hope, their whole gospel and their whole hope, is rooted in the resurrection of Christ. En ek is begin uitdaag oor my eie teologie, my eie geloof, ons gemeenskap se geloof, our hope. Maybe you can test your own faith and your own way you've been living and looking at the word of God is more rooted in the cross than in the resurrection. I don't want to go into that too deep. But have a look at how much our faith rests upon the cross, and we seldomly moves to a place of the resurrection. But the early church, and therefore the cross is not significant. Of course it is significant, but we can't stay at the cross. We need to move onwards to the resurrection. En ek wil vanoggend ietsie deel oor dit, die opstanding. Hoe is dit dat die vroeë kerk die hele wêreld verander het, en het gereeld as die ouens hulle vra, wat is die rede vir die hoop in julle? Christ raised from the dead. That was the answer to everybody who asked. En ek het in my eie lewe begin besef, ek dink ek is arm aan die openbaring en die verstaan van hoekom die opstanding uit die dood van Christus so 'n kardinale rol in my sekuriteit en my hoop moet speel. So wat ek vanoggend wil probeer doen net deur 'n klompie skrif te lees is om te sê ons hoop wil, ons wil 'n seker hoop hê. We don't want to be insecure in this life. God says, I come that you have life and life in abundance, that you have peace and joy. There's no peace and joy in insecurity. But only when you are secure. And how come that we are secure? So ons sien dat die vroeë kerk se sekuriteit en se standvastigheid rested very much on the resurrection of Christ. So as ons in hierdie tipe van woordstudie ingaan, kan ons baie keer sê dit is te ingewikkeld, it's too much, is te veel. But I think sometimes we need to stand still and hear the word of God and allow it to cut our hearts. Allow us to bring revelation to our minds to understand Jesus Christ. So die mense groot vraag is, het God ons lief? As God dan bestaan, het hy ons lief? And Jesus answered that in two ways. He answered your question whether God loves you in two ways. He died for you on the cross, which brought to you the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Die mense, ek lees gister, wonder ek in Dr. Malek hoe oud Robert Redford is. Weet julle hoe oud hy is? Hy is al 80. Maar, en ek gaan soek na som op die internet Robert Redford, hoe oud hy is, 80. Nou begin ek lees. Een van die goed waarmee Robert Redford in sy lewe sukkel wat hy skryf in die onderhoud is guilt. I'm struggling with guilt and my life and the consequences of my life to my family. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, that you will live without guilt. Dat ons sonder so of jy dit weet of nie, dit weet nie. Een van jou stoeie in die lewe is skuldgevoelens oor wat gedoen is en wat aan jou gedoen is en wat jy miskien gedoen het. So, Jesus het gekom om ons vry te maak van daai skuldgevoelens deur sonde te kom vergewe deur die kruisiging. Maar tweedens, een van die dinge waaroor die lewe waarmee die mens stoei is die dood. En Jesus het dit geantwoord deur sy opstanding om te sê there is eternal life for all of those who believe in me. And he brought peace to that question. What about death and after death? So Jesus het ons, die Christelike geloof is geanker in die twee gebeurtenisse, historiese gebeurtenisse, Jesus se kruisiging en sy opstanding. En daarin antwoord Jesus every concern you may have for life. And that's why your hope is supposed to be secure. So kom ons kyk as ons 'n bietjie skrif lees of dit vir ons duideliker word. Kom ons lees 1 Petrus 1. Blaai maar sommer aan, ons los die ander skrifte uit, Christian. Kom ons begin by 1 Petrus 1 vers 3 tot 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Petrus skryf, hy sê, dit is hoekom daar 'n lewendige hoop in jou moet wees. Omdat hy jou 'n nuwe gees gegee het, 'n nuwe lewe gegee het, caused by the resurrection of Christ. So Petrus sê sy hele inheritance waarvoor hy wag, gaan gou aan na die volgende skyfie. Alles waarvoor Petrus hoop in die toekoms berus daarop dat Jesus uit die dood het opgestaan het en dat hy dit geglo het en aanvaar het. En ons gaan nou by dit kom oor hoe dat dit vir ons 'n hoop in ons binneste bring. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. So dit is veilig. Sien ons al die woorde wat hier gebruik word is, daardie hoop is nie 'n insecure hoop nie, but it's secure. Dit is standvastig. En God wil hê dat ons as kerk moet daai standvastige hoop moet leef, want dit is wat ons het vir mekaar gesê, die Here is ons gemeente besig om te beweeg om minder na onsself te kyk, maar om na daar buite te kyk. En wat mense daar buite vra is hoop. Hoe het ons hoop in hierdie land van ons? Hoe het ons hoop in die wêreld van ons? Ons praat gister met die manne by die tennis en ons land gaan dit nog eintlik goed as na wêreldnuus kyk. Maar hoe het ons hoop in ons land? En as jy nie hoop self het wat standvastig is nie, hoe sal jy hoop gee vir iemand wat dit soek? Ons moet weet, hoe kry ons standvastige hoop? Ek wil miskien, kom ons vra, ek het 'n skyfie opgesit, ek dink drie tekens dat jou lewe goed gewortel is in die hoop van die opstanding. Ja, daar kan seker meer wees, but this is the three signs that the power of the resurrection is well established in your life. Okay. I quickly want to say something about expectation against biblical hope. I touched on that this morning as we prayed for the children. Die Westerse kerk is constantly living with the expectation of what God will do for mankind. Test your faith. Test your walk with God. We've got an expectational theology. We don't look at God and we don't acknowledge what he's already done and live from there. We're constantly expecting something from God. En dit is nie die Bybelse hoop wat God vir ons gebring het nie. 'N Bybelse hoop is wat hy reeds gedoen het en daarom leef ek dit wat ek vir my is dit so naby aan mekaar. Kom ons vat 'n skrif. Aan watter skrif het ek gedink? Niks sal ons van die liefde van Christus kan skei nie, Romeine 8. Okay, almal van ons ken die skrif, meeste van ons. My question is, do you live for an expectation of that verse or do you live that as a reality? Sien julle die, ek weet nie of julle die verskil sien nie, is expect that it will be so in the future, which means I'm not sure about it. I hope it's so because the word says it's so. I'm not sure. Versus a revelation that nothing will separate us because God has been resurrected from the life, from dead and I will live with him forever. Die een is 'n verwagting dat God iets sal doen in klein dingetjies en in groot dinge. Die ander een is I'm sure. Therefore, I can live that verse and not expect the verse. Romans sê, so drie tekens, expectation, so kyk hoe baie keer jou verhouding met God expectational is. And I believe God has not called us to an expectational theology, not an expectational following of Christ. Hoekom nie? Want wat het Jesus vir ons gesê? Toe hy sê, die een wat agter my aan wil kom het wat doen? You should expect this and this and this. Except he said expect suffering. Dis wil nie daar gaan nie. Wat het hy eintlik gesê, Marlene? Hy het gesê, lê jou lewe neer en neem op jou kruis. While we find our most of the times expecting something from God. Kan jy sien hoe dit lynreg teen mekaar staan? It's not the same theology. En omdat ons heeltyd met daai expectation leef, we're insecure. We need to be rooted in what Christ has already done and live with a secure hope, not expecting this and expecting that. Okay. So drie tekens wat ek sommer neergeskryf het. The scripture, ek dink nie ek het hom heel opgesit nie, hy is te lank. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Love of Christ. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution and famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. We won't become conquerors. We are already conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We're not expecting to conquer it. We live in a way that says we have conquered it. Okay, ons gaan nou by die praktiese daarvan kom, want hoe lyk 'n lewe dan wat verwag dat niks my sal skei nie versus 'n lewe wat sê ek leef 'n hoop wat sê dit is klaar vas by my. Ek leef uit dit uit as 'n realiteit vir my en nie as iets wat ek hoop moet gebeur nie. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So hoe ek hierdie skrif lees, die een is I live with an expectation that nothing will separate me from God. Versus, I'm living with a conviction that nothing will separate me. En hoe dat ek gaan leef, en hoe dat die vroeë kerk geleef het, it looks different. When you are convicted and convinced, versus expecting it. Ons gaan nou by die praktiese daarvan kom. Die tweede sign is, so you live with that scripture as a reality, that nothing will separate you from Christ. You live it, you don't expect it. I think the other sign that you are rooted is 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life. Do you see? We've passed from death into life because we love the brothers. Finish. If we don't love, we haven't passed from death to life. That's what the scripture says. So as jy wil weet of jy lewe in die hoop wat die opstanding gegee het is, your life will there will be signs in your life that you love the brothers and the sisters. It will not be about you, but about about loving others. So die vraag vir oggend wat jy vir my moet vra is, of jou lewe getuig daarvan, dat jy lief het rondom jou. And love asks for sacrifice. So am I busy with what is convenient for me, or am I willing to do what is inconvenient because that shows love to someone else. Sien die verskil? So as ek, en hierdie skrif sluit aan by die vorige een, sometimes I'm not sure what this is going to cost me. So I'm not able to lift the first scripture. Nothing will separate me. Therefore I'm unable to love. The early church did not struggle with this. They lived in a way that showed they are not fearful of what will separate them or what will try to separate them. They lived that scripture unto death. They were willing to pay the price day by day to live that scripture, not to expect it. You see the difference? They could love because they were able to live the first scripture. The third one. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. My question is, do you live it or do you expect it? Are you unsure about it? Or you're sure about it and therefore you live in a certain way? En ek dink dit is die verskil, want ons gaan nou sien by, I've put together three things that will help you to grow in that resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And you will, if you look at that, you will see it is the church itself is supposed to be what Jesus Christ was resurrected for the first disciples. Jesus se opstanding en die feit dat hy na die kruisiging opgestaan het, saam met die Gees van God, het 'n sekere impak gehad op by 12 disciples. We are supposed to be that living, resurrected body of Christ, bringing hope to the world. And if we do not live that resurrected hope, there is no hope for the world. We can't just talk about it, we should live it. They should see it. Die ouens wou hulle vingers in Jesus se wonde druk om seker te maak, dit is hy. Tot op die einde het hulle nog gewonder of dit hy is. Hy moes hulle weer rebuke op die einde. So as ons nie leef, asof daardie hoop vas is in ons lewe nie, en is heeltyd 'n expectation for the future, we leave the world without hope. So there's three ways to be rooted in this hope of the resurrection. Drie maniere hoe dat hierdie hoop van die opstanding deel raak van jou lewe. Kom ons kyk daarna. Die eerste een wil ek nie lank by stilstaan, ek dink ek het 'n klompie skrif daarop is. Die eerste en die mees kragtigste manier hoe jy toegang tot dit kry, is by putting your faith in Christ. When you put your faith in the death and the resurrection of Christ, and you accept that, He sends His Spirit to live within you. He gives you a new spirit. And that is the primary source of your conviction of the resurrection. Ek is weer uitgedaag. Wie was die grootste verkondiger van Jesus se opstanding? Dis die Nuwe Testament moet lees. Paul. Okay, so het Paul Jesus se opstanding gesien? Was hy 'n first-hand eyewitness to it? So why was he so convicted? Because many times we would think, we haven't seen it, so I can't be as convicted as the early church. Paul hasn't seen it. But Paul was more convicted than the rest. And who? Hoekom is hy so convicted gewees? Why did he give up everything to live that hope? Not to teach it to someone. He lived the hope. Kom ons gaan gou so Christus se gees wat in jou kom woon, he testifies of the resurrection of Christ. Okay, kom ons lees. Ek het nie al die skrifte volledig ingesit nie, is net nie genoeg tyd en plek nie. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? En as die so wat sê, hoe mooi is die voetstappe van hulle wat die woord kom verkondig. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Kom ons lees die volgende skrif, John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And the question this morning is, do you believe this? Jesus is asking, do we believe this? The historical crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. And that he paid for sin and he's promised eternal life. And he had victory over death. Sonde het wat in Adam en Eva se ongehoorsaamheid het wat in die lewe ingebring. Sonde en die gevolg van sonde, dood. Jesus se kruisiging en sy opstanding cancelled both in those who believe in him. En die vraag vanoggend is, glo ek dit? Because if I believe it, there should be effect in my life. And that effect, with what I will show just now, that effect, will you will be a living hope of Jesus. Not only talking about it. Volgende skrif, Markus 16. Hoekom ek hierdie skrif ingesit het, is, hierdie klomp disciples was first-hand witnesses van Jesus, wat opgestaan het. Maar hulle wou nog nie glo dis hy nie. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. Sien ons hoe die disciples gesukkel daarmee om te glo dat Jesus werklik opgestaan het. Dink ek het op een skrif Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. Die gees wat Jesus opgewek het, is ook in jou. Daar selfe krag wat die opstanding gebring het. And therefore, it brings you from death to life. There should be an effect in our lives when the spirit of God resides within us. Dit is my so 'n mooi skrifgedeelte hierdie, ek het dit al 'n paar jaar terug gelees en ek baie daarmee gestoei. Petrus en die res van die apostels word aangekla, they should stop preaching about Christ in Jerusalem. They're confusing the people. En hierso is Petrus se antwoord vir die fariseërs. We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. Do you see that the Holy Spirit is testifying inside of you that Jesus really raised from the dead? If God sends his Spirit to live within you, there is a testimony of the Spirit within you of the resurrection. Therefore, we should live with a secure hope. Whom God is. Okay, so die eerste toegangsplek wat ons het tot hoop van die opstanding, dat daai selfe hoop in jou sal wees, dat dit 'n vaste hoop sal wees, is om te doen wat Jesus aan die kruis gedoen het. What did Jesus do there? He came and he said, into your hands I give my spirit, and I trust you to raise me. En die vraag vir oggend is, of elkeen van ons seker is, dat ons lewe op 'n plek voor God gebring het en gesê het, in your hands, I commit my life. And I'm asking of you to raise me and give me new life. Because we can't follow God from our own strength. We need His Spirit to reside within us. And that is one of the first step for resurrected hope in your life. To have the Spirit of God in you. In you. The second way, source of this resurrected life in you is the sacraments. Is die doop en die nagmaal. Ek wil net vinnig kyk hoe die skrif vir ons wys en daarom partykeer, ek is weer uitgedag toe ek die woord gaan lees wat rondom hierdie dinge is, hoe ons partykeer met die nagmaal of met die doop sommer net as 'n handeling omgaan. While the word says something supernatural happens every time you partake of it. And do we have that expectation? Do we have that belief that something supernatural is happening when we baptize someone, when we partake of communion or not? So die twee sources, blaai gou om na die skrifte wat ek Romeine 6 vers 3 tot 4, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So ons sien dat die doop, wanneer iemand tot bekering gekom het, Jesus aangeneem het, en ons om doop, daar die impartation plaasvind van die resurrected life van Jesus Christus. Dink in Kolossense 3 kan jy dit ook vind. Kom ons kyk vinnig na die volgende skrifgedeelte. Jesus, as ons met die nagmaal omgaan, my ervaring, ek weet nie van jou nie, meeste van die tyd as ek die nagmaal gebruik, dink ek aan die kruisiging. Do we also see the resurrection in that? Luister na John 6, ek het net 'n paar aanhalings ingesit, gaan lees het by die huis, John 6 vers 33 to 58, for the bread of God gives life to the world, I am the bread that came down from heaven, I am the bread of life, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread. Each time we partake of the bread, we partake of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. And do we do it with the respect and the fear of that or not? Do we see that partaking of the bread and the wine, that we partake of the resurrected life of Christ? Or we only partake in His crucifixion? We also partake in the life. So die doop en die nagmaal is, it's also a source of where we partake in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Laaste ene, through godly suffering. Why did I put godly suffering? Want daar's baie ander suffering in die lewe wat nie godly suffering is nie. Wat is die verskil? And I think this is where the church is struggling the most, especially the Western church. We don't partake in the resurrected life because not willing to pay the price to suffer for the sake of Christ. So eenvoudig soos dit. Can I say it again? We do not partake in the resurrected life of Christ because we are not willing to pay the price to suffer for the cause of Christ. We don't taste the resurrected power of Jesus by being blessed all the time and by living expectational faith and being answered by God. That's not how you taste the resurrected power of Christ. You taste it when you suffer for the cause of Christ. And where do we see it in the Word? Can you see that right through the New Testament? All the believers knew this. If we want to partake in what Jesus died for and was resurrected, we need to follow after Him and do what Marlene said. Lay down your life. Take up your cross. That what is latent, wat latent lê in jou as gevolg van die wedergeboorte, ontvang van die Gees, die dooping en die nagmaal, that it may be come to an expression. Hoor julle die verskil? Hierso lê dit in 'n groot mate latent. As jy dit nooit leef nie, you'll never taste it. You'll never find the security that Paul and Peter and all the others had to follow until death. Because you are still living for yourself and not for the cause of Christ. And I think that's the key essence where we as a congregation in my personal life is. Are we willing to pay the price and live for the cause of Christ so that we may taste His resurrection power? So, ons expectational theology is lynreg teen dit. Because what do we expect all the time? God answering our needs, our problems, solve our problems. And there is place for that. I'm not nullifying that. Deny himself. So my question this morning is, hoe lyk jou lewe? Ek sien hier's tieners ook. Laat ek maar by Leah begin, net is 'n ander tiener vir my kwaad. My vraag is, how are you denying yourself? So, as jy in die krag van die opstanding wil leef, it is not an indulgence in this life. It's rather a life of denying yourself, but taking up your cross. There, the true taste of resurrection life is experienced. Not an easy life. Ek en Angie praat Vrydagoggend, China was vir baie lank die vinnigste groeiende kerk. Why is it not fast growing anymore? Dit is nie meer die vinnigste groeiende kerkie. Hoekom nie? What has disappeared in China? Persecution. It's gone. Not totally, maar slat nie meer so erg nie. Vinnigste groeiende kerk op die oomblik en wêreldwyd, Iran. Because of the persecution. So the body of Christ is living that resurrected hope. And those outside believe. Therefore it's growing. It's not through earthly blessings that we attract the unbeliever. It is through sacrificial living that people say, why are they doing this? Somewhere they have supernatural impartation from God Himself to live this life. So, hoe lyk jou ontsê van jouself? We are talking about loving one another. It's a true sign of whether the resurrected hope is in your life. Loving one another. To love someone, most of the time ask me to deny myself. Hoe lyk die kruis wat jy dra? That's why I'm putting it up, biblical suffering. Because sin causes us to suffer as well. That we need to attend to. But we need to choose biblical suffering. Romans 5:1-5. Ek wil net eintlik een koneksie hier maak. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Which sufferings? Because of sin? No, our godly suffering. Choosing to serve the gospel. We rejoice in that. Hoekom? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces what? Hope. So what it says, suffering produces hope. So as long as we are living for ourselves, we will not taste the resurrection power of Christ. You won't have it. You'll be insecure. You won't have a secure hope. If I've got it wrong, anybody can help me, Dr. Malik. Is daar nog, ek dink daar is een skrif oor, en hierdie is vir my seker die opsomming van vanoggend se woord. Kom ek probeer opsom, voor ons die skrif saam lees. We are longing for that secure hope in our lives. Doen jy? Almal van ons doen. Die vraag is, wat is tekens dat hierdie hoop in jou lewe bestaan? En ons het 3 dinge genoem. We're not living expectational. We are willing to die for the cause. We're loving one another, and we're living not with an expectation that things will work out for good. We're living because we know this is reality. Where I am, what I'm busy with, is good, whether I suffer or not. Because I've laid down my life and I've taken up my cross for the cause of Christ. So 3 signs. Where do we receive the resurrection power of Christ? By laying down your life and receiving His Spirit. And secondly, what was the other one? Baptism, communion, and lastly, and I think many of us has passed through the first and the second, but we are at the point where we have to ask, are we really denying ourselves for the cause of Christ? If we really want to be planted, secure, in hope, that does not ashame, because this is what the previous scriptures say. It's not any hope. Like we're terug aan Christian. Hope that does not put us to shame. Means biblical hope, secure hope. God will not let us down. And all the promises is not something that we expect. We live them for other people. Those promises are real in the lives of other people because we as the church live them. Let's read that last scripture. And He died for all, that's Jesus, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. And that is where us as a church is. Are we willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross? We are longing for that secure hope. And the only way that it may be visible for you and the believer next to you and for those on the outside is by not living for yourself, but by not denying yourself and bring that hope in reality to people that they may see it. Kom ons maak ons oë toe, dan bid ons saam. Vader, dankie dat ons vanoggend die naam kan aanroep, Here, en so Here, so baie dinge vanoggend gedeel. Maybe some of us are still just wondering what did we say to one another. Ek bid Here dat U hierdie skrif en hierdie woord en wat ons gedeel het met mekaar, dat elkeen van ons, Here, sal tyd maak om by U te sit daarmee. That we will chew it and eat it, Father. Spit the bones. But allow You to speak into our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for a church that will not live for itself, but for Your cause, Lord. I pray, Father, that we will taste Your resurrection power, Father, in the laying down of our lives and taking up of our cross, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for us to walk and to follow after Your Son, where He has been in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, and already there, the resurrection power was present in His life when He said, not My will, but Your will, Father. And I pray that, Father, for each one of us, that Your resurrection power will be there where we come to You and say, Father, Your will, not My will. We will trust You, Father, as He did, where He gave His Spirit into Your hands and say, into Your hands I give my life. And I pray, Father, that we will anew come to a place where we give our lives to You and follow and deny and take up our cross, Lord Jesus. That we may be planted in a hope that is secure, not wavering, wondering, expecting, but be a demonstration of who You are and what You have called us for, Lord. Let us live for You, Father, in Jesus' name. Let us live for You in Jesus' name, Father. I pray, Father, that You will teach us to be free of this world. And Father, as we next week, Father, as we continue on this theme, Father, I pray that You will just come and show us in practical ways through the testimonies, Father, how to walk as sons and not as slaves. Here ons bid dit in Jesus' naam. Amen.